I just want to minister for a few minutes to you. I feel like this message will encourage you because I want to encourage all of you, just in case you think you're not enough, because it's been mentioned a lot in this conference about the fact that, you know, sometimes we get hung up on our own insecurities. We get hung up on the way that maybe our life is, what we see going around us, and we see the impossibility so easily, don't we? And if we look with the natural eye instead of the spiritual eye of the Lord, we can talk ourselves out of anything that God wants. But when we begin to see what God's call is through the eye of the Lord, then we can begin to see that, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. But if you think you're not enough, if you think you're too messed up, or you think you're too broken, well, I want to introduce you to myself, because I am from the tribe of not enough. I was not enough in myself. But when you give yourself to God and you begin to let the master begin to take the clay that we offer him and let him begin to mold us and begin to make us, then that's when God can make us into something usable. We're going to read from the Word of God tonight on Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to do verse 21 through 30. Thank you, Father, for this service. Thank you, Father, for what you've already done. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. And Father, I pray, God, that there will be those that are sitting here tonight that understand that some of the things that they've been going through and seemingly endless, God, that you have a purpose in it. And so, God, I think that your revelation will open up to us tonight. And I thank you for the anointing upon and the anointing within. In Jesus' name, amen. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say unto you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful, and they began to say to him, one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many of the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This passage of scripture is very crucial because Jesus is getting ready to die. And it's so interesting that in the very last verse there, we have this passage of scripture says, "And they sung a hymn." They sung after this was such a momentous time that was going on. And we find out that right before the Lord's death, it was the time of Passover. And the scripture is almost kind of confusing when you read it. Here Jesus is saying, "Someone's getting ready to betray me." He knew. He knew that there was an enemy in the camp. But still, he sung a hymn. We need to learn to be able to sing a song when there's an enemy in the camp. We need to be able to, when times are hard, to sing a song. One of the things that the enemy tries to do is come and steal our song. I know, I've been there. I've told the story many, many times how I back when I had come through a lot of situations, and God had set me free, and things were going good. And everywhere I went, I was singing. You know, and when I got up in the morning, I was singing. Throughout the day, I was always singing. And if I went to the restroom, I was singing. And I remember one of our teachers at that time said, "I always know when you're in the restroom because you're singing." And I would just sing my song over and over. I'd sing a song of the Lord and unto the Lord. But there come a day when more trouble come in, more things come. And I didn't realize it. But all of a sudden, my song was gone. I wasn't singing the song as freely as I used to. And we were on a trip in Kenya one year. I think it was in 2009 when we saw the video today of little Christine that was our attendant. And as we were in that we were ministering to the women and the men were ministering to the men, and it was such a beautiful time. And I remember going out to the restroom and I began to sing, and I thought, I'm singing. I didn't realize I had lost my song. But I began to sing, and I said, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for the song. Thank you for the song of the Lord." And then as time went on, the next thing you know, when you get caught up in life and a lot of life situations happen, and then all of a sudden the song is gone again. But I really begin to miss the song of the Lord, and I begin to pray and say, Lord, I don't want to be that person that loses their song. I want to be that person that, in spite of everything that's going on, the song is something I'm going to hang on to. I'm going to sing the song. I'm going to sing a hymn of hallelujah. I'm going to sing the song of the Lord in the midst of every situation. Because if you've lost your song tonight, there's a reason. The enemy has come in and he has stole it. He has slipped it out of your life in some way that maybe you didn't even realize, because I didn't. But we're going to talk just a moment. Jesus is getting ready to sing, to die, and then they begin to sing. In the Old Testament, it talks about vessels. There are some that are made of gold. There's some that's made of silver and some of brass. We know about that. We know how they were put into the temple. We know the great significance of them. It's a wonderful thing. But there was something that was also very important in the Word of God, and that is the vessels that were made of clay. And that's what we're going to talk about today. In Jeremiah, we read about the hands of the potter and the potter's wheel. When I was in my 20s, probably my early 20s, I remember a lady that came to my mom and dad's church. She had a pottery shop. And I don't know. I just thought I'd try my hand at it. I wasn't real, real good at it. But I learned some lessons while I was there. And it's not as easy as you think. I mean, it takes, when a real good expert person that makes pottery, it's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. But anyway, Jeremiah talks about the hands of the potter. And he talks about these clay vessels that come from the middle of the Jordan River. Jordan River was called the Holy River. It was a place where Nahum was healed. Remember the story of Nahum, how he went and he obeyed the prophet and he dipped and he got healed. Amen. It was a place that Joshua and the Israelites crossed over to the land of Canaan in Joshua chapter 4. It represented the place where we come from, passing from death into life, no longer in the wilderness. That is what God wants to do when we get, let him take the clay of our lives and let him do the work that needs to be done on us. We'll talk about a little bit about there are chosen vessels, there are rejected vessels, and there are broken vessels. We can probably all identify a little bit with the broken vessels. Have you ever been broken in life? Yeah, or a little bit cracked, right? Have you ever felt rejected? Have you ever been to that place where you were rejected because you were rebellious and you couldn't do what God had called you because you had that rebellion in your heart? And God had to say, "I want to use you, but right now, your heart is hard." Because we refuse to let the potter do the potter's work. So we identify many, many times with the rejected and the broken. But it's hard sometimes for us to understand that we are being chosen. We are a chosen generation. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6 says this. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord said, "Rise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went to the potter's house, and there he was working on his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. Have you ever been that clay that only God could make something beautiful out of? Have you ever been so broken and so crushed that only God could do anything with? Well, that's talking about you here then. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel. Aren't you glad that he reworked you into another vessel? Aren't you glad that he didn't see us as just something that's rejected, something that's unusable? But he sees us. He says, if you'll let me take you. So it seemed good to the potter to do. Thus the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, O child, O chosen one of God. I cannot do with you. Can I not do with you as the potter has done? Can God not do with you as the potter did with clay? You can ask yourself that personally. Can I let the potter, God, do with me, my master? Can I let him do with me what the potter can do with clay that is seemingly wasteful and unused? Declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Every one of us. So are you in my hand. O house of Israel, O child of the living God, O man, O woman, O young person, he can take you and turn your life around. When a potter makes pottery, he sometimes, and I love this part, because I remember this, I didn't know what kind of design to put on my, what do you call those things that I made? Steins. Yeah. Only mine weren't beer. I didn't know if they were. But there were these steins, and I had no idea what to do. But, you know, you put them in this mold, and you work it, and you do your best you can. And that's what I really tried to do, but I wasn't really a potter. But what a real potter will do is sometimes when he makes a pottery, he would throw a design on it. He would make something that's very unique. He would just do some designs. He would take his fingers and he would just mold it and he would just make it and he'd rub it and he would smooth it over. He didn't know how that was going to turn out. He would fire up the heat of the oven. And it even would come out a different color than what he originally had thought. Wow, it's you and I, right? He gets to working on us. And I mean, I know that he knows. But when we gets done with each one of us, we don't even recognize ourselves. But when the potter gets done with this, he looks at it and he says, oh my, this is my making. This is my daughter. This is my son. This is that child and whom I knew if they would just yield their lives to me, I could turn it around and make it into something that's beautiful and usable. Often it would look so different. Mine had a whole lot of swirls and gold on it, one of mine. White underneath, gold swirls here and there. And so I was thinking about that. But sometimes it could come out as a starburst, or it could come out, mine looked like a jar, maybe. And it was white, and it had gold all over it. And it was kind of pretty. And I guess it might have been my masterpiece, but no one else would have wanted it, I'm sure, except my kids. And they love me, so they would take it. But the potter, the real potter, he would look at the beautiful vessel that he had no idea how to recreate. He didn't know how to recreate you because he made you an individual. He gave you your own unique DNA. He gave you your own fingerprint. He gave you your own design. The potter would keep it to himself. He'd put a signature on it. I've got a signature on me. He says, she belongs to me. That's my girl. That's my girl. That's my man. That's my child. That's how he looks at us. That's how he sees us. He puts a signature on the bottom of the vase. Then the potter would take and he would put that beautiful piece of pottery in a secret place. It wasn't out for the public to see. He put it up. Sometimes we wonder, God, when are you going to use me? A rich man would come by and he'd say, I want to see one of your chosen vessels. Because, see, he knew. He'd been by that potter's place before. And he'd say, I want to see one of your chosen vessels. He knew that the potter had made something special because that's what that potter always do. And he would come by. He wanted something that no one else had. And he wanted something that the potter had put his signature on. Oh, he values us. He's put a signature on us. He knows our name. He knows exactly who we are, where we come from, and where we're going. Aren't you thankful for that? So the potter would go and he'd get chosen vessels and he'd bring them out and he'd show them to the rich man. That which had been secret is now out into the public because the rich man came by and he picked something that was made exclusive and he was the one that got it. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Paul, the apostle Paul, he was a chosen vessel before the Lord. Acts 9:15 says, but the Lord said to him, Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God spoke to a disciple named Ananias, go to a house of Judas on a street called Straight. See, God knows where we're at. He knows how to get to us. He knows the directions. He knows our address, even when we're hidden, even when nobody else knows where we're at. God always knows where we're at. Look for a man called Saul of Tarsus. Now, Ananias had heard about this Saul, and he had heard about the evilness. But the Lord said, I want you to go lay hands on him. I want you to anoint him because I have a purpose for this man. God cares about us. He doesn't care where you come from. If you will yield your life to him, he says, I want to anoint you, and I want to use you for my kingdom. The potter Jesus knows how to refashion. He knows how to mold those who are the children of darkness. He knows how to bring us out into the light so that we can be children of the light, so that we can bring honor and glory to Almighty God. There are called. There are people who are chosen. Many of us who have traveled to many cities and you've went to many churches, you will find men and women that are so anointed of God. You will hear singers and you think, why hasn't somebody discovered them? Why isn't somebody using them to preach in their pulpit? Why are they not found? Why are they hidden? great preachers that no one knows they are great, great songwriters, great storytellers. Nobody even knows why they exist. But may I tell you tonight that they are in a secret place. If only someone could just expose them to someone else. But see, I'm here to encourage you tonight because I've heard so many people say, I've waited such a long time. I went through that. I said, God, Daryl and I aren't getting any younger. And then God began to speak things to me that he was opening up and doing of things that he had spoken 40 years ago, 30 years ago, as a child. And when they began to come, I remember one day I was weeping before the Lord. And God had just put something in my heart. And I was like, God, do you know how old I am? And he said to me, yes, I do. Are you going to be a Sarah? I said, no, sir. No, sir. It's okay that I'm 47 and I can still do this. Amen. Well, when you was in Georgia, they said that you were, what, 45? No, 47, 57, yeah. So if I want to be young as you, I can be, right? But I want to encourage you tonight. It doesn't matter how old, how young you are, because when the time is right, God knows how to raise you up. He knows how to get you where you need to go. We look at John the Baptist. It's interesting, his story. I've read it a lot recently. He was the forerunner of Christ, and people, they came looking for him. You know, there wasn't any advertisements out there. It's just that God began to use him, and then somebody else would tell him, and here they come. And John the Baptist, he was somebody that, you know, he wasn't even good to look at. He was a wilderness man, and not many women would have wanted to chase after him. But there was something about him that drew people to him. And God knows how to find you wherever that you're at. There are some that have been called and have been chosen, but they have rejected the call of God upon their life. Don't reject the call of God, because God has a way of fixing every one of us. Don't reject him, because God wants to use anybody that will allow him. Some chosen vessels broken by life, they choose to go the different way because I've been hurt too bad. I can't trust anybody. I can't forgive them because what they did was just too bad. I can't do it. When we leak too much, when we're cracked too bad, and that's all we talk about, that's all we can see, we complain, we go on, instead of seeing the goodness of God, you can't be used in the house of God. You can't even be used as a good witness, because before you get done witnessing to someone, you'll turn it around and begin to complain about how bad your life is. Matthew 27 talks about the potter's field. It was a desolate place, and it was called the field of blood, the place where Judas hung himself. Judas saw and he heard the same things that the other disciples had heard, but he chose to sell himself out. It wasn't that he sold Jesus out, he sold himself out. When we sell ourselves out instead of choosing Jesus, we are the one that brings the sorrow upon our life. Judas had a hard heart, and he wanted to make excuses for what he chose to do. But when he realized it, he had already sold out the master, but he had already sold out himself. Don't sell yourself out to the enemy. Don't let the enemy's lies convince you that you're not enough, that you're not good enough, that God don't want to use you, because he wants to. broken vessels are those that have been dropped by life. And I could say, how many broken vessels have we had in here? Probably everybody here has been broken at some time of your life. We can't just go down and get the mud from the Jordan River and put it over the crack. It doesn't work that way. How do we mend? What's the question here? How do we mend if we're broken? It's a good question, isn't it? One way is this. In the natural, the potter would go to the shepherd, and he would explain to the shepherd that he has a beautiful vessel that has a crack in it. That's you and I. We've been that beautiful vessel, and we've had those times where we've had that crack in it. The potter would explain to the shepherd and ask if he could examine a lamb or a sheep. And he would look for a tick, because the clay and the tick together mixed up, the clay and the blood from the tick, they work. Went to the shepherd. Jesus, the shepherd that gave his blood. And you put that with the clay, and the crack can be healed. And the crack can be healed. The vessel can be restored. It takes the blood, and it takes a willing vessel to allow that blood and that clay together to heal the broken places of our life. And that's what Jesus came, is so that the brokenness of our lives can be made whole. He paid a price for us. We are clay vessels, and we have the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the potter, and I am the clay. He's the potter, and you are the clay, and he wants to heal us. This is a powerful scripture. Isaiah 29:16, out of the Message. And sometimes we get it all mixed up and backwards here. You have everything backwards. You treat the potter as a lump of clay. Does a book say to the author, he didn't write a word of me? Does a meal say to the woman who cooked it, she has nothing to do with it? Do you have it backwards? Do we treat the potter, the maker? Do we treat him as the clay? We want to mold him into the way we want to think, the way we want to worship, the way we want to serve, the way we want to live our life. Isaiah 45:9. Amplified says, woe to him who quarrels with his maker. A worthless piece of pottery among other broken pieces. Shall the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or does the thing the clay says, he has no hands? It always comes back to us, doesn't it? Always comes back to us. He doesn't force us. He just loves us, and he gives us opportunities. The vessels, they had to be put in the fire. The biblical verses talks about different sizes of vessels, the tall, the short. I made some steins that were really big, and then I made some that were squatty, and then I made some that were round like this and little at the top, like I said. I did a cat. I don't know how in the world I did that ugly cat. It's not ugly. But they have to, you know, different sizes, and they have to be put in the fire. And I remember that this sweet little lady that was trying to teach me, when she'd put in the fire, they weren't all the same. There were different ones in there, and probably that cat was one of them in there. I'd forgot about that white cat. It was white, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, that was really original. White. Just put some white on it. That'll work. That's a good color. But they're all in together. And the potter doesn't have any timer on his urn. He doesn't have a way to tell you that when it's finished, when it's done. But this is my favorite part of all, because sometimes we wonder, how long are we going to stay in the fire? How long? Oh, man, I was on that wheel so long, I was dizzy. I mean, around and around and around we go, and I thought, about the time I thought he was about done molding me, and about the time, you know, he took it, looked, and then the next thing you know, I had to go again. I was spinning, and it's like, I've been around this way before. How come? What's going on here, Lord? What is it? There's some imperfections that I'm trying to get straightened out here. Come on, it's all right. Hang in there on the wheel. You're going to make it. Hang in there. And he'll pat me as he goes. And he molds me and he makes me. Then he puts me in the fire. Have you ever been in the fire? And you think, my goodness, when's this going to stop? When am I going to be cured? When is everything going to be all right? And I'm going to get out of this fire. How long do you keep the vessels in there? Some have to stay in the fire longer than others. They have to wait. What are they waiting for? What are we waiting for? Only the potter knows when the vessel is ready to come out. The potter said that the vessel had to stay on the wheel until it was smooth. The vessel was smooth, and he was satisfied with the vessel. The potter, the master, was touching. He was forming. He was speaking to the clay, because he's ordained that the clay has a purpose and the clay has a destiny. So in the fire, he's waiting for something. The potter is listening for a certain sound. He's listening for a hum. Only the potter knows the sound of when the vessel is ready to come out of the fire. But when there's a good hum going on, would you come, worship team? When there's a good hum going on, when there's a consistency, the potter is listening. Ooh. Potter gets a little bit closer. Ooh. Ooh. Potter's getting excited. Ooh. I hear my vessel. It's almost ready. Ooh, would you stand to your feet? Ooh, 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 practice this. Come on. Out of the situation, God's saying tonight, you've been in the fire because the impurities that have been in your life, the things that have distracted you, and you've lost your song because of them, you've lost your joy. But the Spirit of the Lord says that I've come as a fire, I've come as a flame. On the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room, and the Spirit of God came. It came like a rushing, mighty wind, and the fire of God began to fall in the house. The potter had been at work. He had already forecasted what was coming for the church. And he said, if you'll just tarry, if you'll just wait, if you'll just trust me, if you'll seek my face, if you'll humble yourself, that which has been holding you up, that thing that seems dead in you, that song that you couldn't sing anymore.
Of the army of the Lord.